chapter 4, to read verse 18. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. The book of Galatians, of course, is a church letter written by Paul. Galatians 1:2, unto the churches of Galatia, a region in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. We learn from the book of Acts that churches were established in the southern Galatian cities of Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And those are the churches that no doubt Paul is writing to at this time. We see the letter. Paul visited these churches during his third missionary journey, and this letter would have been written after that. And since the first time Paul was in Galatia, the churches in that region had greatly deteriorated. And the reason is Jewish legalizers had entered the churches, were teaching salvation by works theology. As a result, many of the individual members of these churches were now considered Paul to be an enemy, and Paul addresses that in verse 16 of chapter 4. But throughout the book, he addresses the false theology that was prevalent and builds the case for salvation by grace. We read verse 18, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. And it's from those words that we want to develop our thought and begin a short series of messages, zealously affected. And the subject of this first message in the series will be hearts zealously affected. So what do we mean by zealously affected? In Galatians 4, verse 17, Paul writes, they, that is the false teachers, zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude or prevent and separate you, no doubt, from Christ and the truth, that ye might affect them. So Paul is saying that these false teachers, they show you affection, and they are very zealous in doing so, but they have an underlying cause, a motive, which is to draw you away from Christ. He is saying they expect of you to show the same zeal to them in kind, that you would have an attachment to them. Paul goes on to say, again in verse 18, but it is by way of contrast, it is good to be zealously, again, they were zealously affected, but not in a good way. So he now says it's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. That is, it is good to have zeal in a good cause. It is good to have a zealous affection in a good cause. In this series, we want to make personal application concerning being zealously affected by the wonderful truths of God. We'll be looking at this, and as you and I being the object affected, and affected with zeal. There are not many people today who are affected, and I'm talking about God's people, who are affected by the Word of God, by the proddings of God, by the leadings of God. If you read Baptist history, say go back to the 1600s, time of the Puritans, it was a common thing. Church services would last hours, would last half the day, sometimes all day long. And it was a common thing for people to fall out into the aisles, pleading with God to show them mercy. You and I have never seen that. Never have. Probably never will. But they were greatly affected by the Word of God. So we need to ask ourselves, how are we affected by the truths of God? How are we affected by what we profess to believe? How does it affect us personally? How does it impact our lives? The word affected is indicative of feeling or emotion that is brought about as a result of something. It is to be moved. It is to be touched in the feelings, having the passions stirred. It is to be changed by an outside force. It is how we are moved, how we are impacted, how we are impressed, how we are influenced by something. And we've said many times, and this is a newsflash to most Baptists, salvation is not void of emotion, nor is worship void of emotion. The life that results from salvation is not void of feeling or emotion. You and I that are saved ought to have deep and stirring emotion concerning spiritual matters. In other words, we ought to be zealously affected. The word zealously conveys the idea of eagerness, passion, vigor. Speaks of a deep interest. How deeply interested are we in the things of God? We live in a day, even in our kind of churches, where people want, people are satisfied with very, very shallow preaching. Just spread a little peanut butter on a cracker and they're happy. But how deeply interested are we in the things of God? Zealously affected. It speaks of something intense. It speaks of an overmastering feeling or conviction. It's something that controls us. It's something that masters us. It's something that overcomes us. It is to be carried away. Paul was carried away into the third heaven. He was deeply affected. It is to be enraptured and enthralled with the things of God. This is what we read of the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. there in Luke chapter 24 and verse 32. And we hear them say, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way?" It's what Jeremiah experienced in Jeremiah 20 in verse 9. He said, "The word was in his heart as a burning fire." In other words, it was something intensely felt. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? It's something they felt intensely. We that are saved by grace ought to always be zealously affected by spiritual truths, spiritual matters. But sadly, we live in a day, even when many of God's people are very fittingly described in Ephesians 4 verse 19, who being past feeling. That's a sad place to be. Who being past feeling. The result of that is have given themselves over unto. A lot of God's people have given themselves over unto many things. And they're past feeling. You can approach them. You can rebuke them. Doesn't mean a thing. They're past feeling. Their hearts are hardened. And this is why so many times, most of the time, in worship in churches all through the land, when worship is over, it's over. Very little impact is made. There aren't many who are zealously affected by the things of God. So what are the requirements to being always zealously affected by the spiritual? What are the requirements to be zealously affected always in spiritual facts, in spiritual matters? It's something that we ought to always long for. It's something that ought to greatly concern us. It ought to greatly affect us when we're not affected. That ought to disturb us. That ought to bother us. And usually what happens is the blame is put everywhere but where it should be. How we are affected by the things of God is a gauge to measure spirituality. We can measure where we are spiritually, to what degree we are affected by spiritual things. So to be zealously affected always requires, first of all, a heart capable of such. The reason that many are not, again I'm speaking of God's people, are not zealously affected is because they do not have a heart that's capable of being zealously affected. Well, we need new programs, we need this, we need that, and maybe people will be affected. No, they won't. Because it's not a program problem. It's a heart problem. The devil is always trying to get us to look at the wrong root, the wrong cause. And as long as he can do that, then there's no remedy. And he's very good at it. So we need a heart capable of being affected. The heart, of course, is the source of all human conduct. The heart has reference to our inner being. It's who we are. It's that which controls and gives character to all that we do. It is our thoughts, our motions, our will, our affections. It's our soul. It's our spirit. The Word of God places the emphasis upon the heart. All through the Word of God, that's a fact. That's where the emphasis is placed. A lot of people don't want to hear that because it causes them to look at the real problem, and they don't want to look at the real problem. We read in Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep, that is, guard and garrison, thy heart. It's a personal responsibility. And we're to do this with all diligence. Not just with diligence, but with all diligence. That is, with all vigilance and care. Four, that introduces the reason to do so. Out of it, the heart, are the issues, are the outgoings of life. Keep thy heart. The reason many are not zealously affected is their heart has not been guarded. Their heart has not been vigilantly looked after. Now in salvation, God gives us a new heart. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, and we read basically the same thing in Ezekiel 36, 26. But in Ezekiel 11, 19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. So you go from a stony heart to a heart of flesh. There's a big difference between a stone and flesh. Huge difference. A stone is cold. You can heat it for a short season, but it will return very quickly to its native coldness. That explains many of God's people. They get excited for a little while, but wait, and you won't wait long. They will return to their native coldness. Because they have a heart problem. They have a stony heart. A stone is hard. A stone is dead. It has no feeling. You can tell it tales of sorrow, and it'll shed no tears. You can tell it tales of joy, and that stone will not smile. There's no consciousness in it. You can prick it, and it will not bleed. You can stab it, and it will not hurt. It is without feeling. It is without emotion. It's utterly senseless. It feels nothing. On the other hand, flesh is warm, soft, sensitive, responsive. It's alive. It's full of feeling. It's pliable. It's flexible. And so we're to have a heart of flesh, prepared to receive whatever impressions God shall make upon it. In order to be zealously affected always with spiritual truths and matters, we must have a heart of flesh. And the Word of God very plainly teaches that a heart of a saved individual can become hard, can become cold and unresponsive. Paul spoke of this, notice in Acts chapter 28, in verse 27. Acts 28, verse 27. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. And here's the sign. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So we see this hardness of heart from this verse affects hearing, it affects seeing, it affects understanding, it affects perceiving, it affects turning, converting. To be zealously affected is to hear. To be zealously affected is to see, is to understand, is to perceive, and to turn. It is said of the apostles in Mark 6, verse 52, they considered not. That is, they did not view attentively or with careful examination and meditation. For, and here's the reason, their heart was hardened. The reason was because their heart was hardened. We read in Mark 8:17, Jesus speaking to the disciples, he says, "Why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not, neither understand." That's exactly what Paul was speaking of in Acts 28:27. "Have ye your heart yet hardened?" The problem was a heart condition. Mark 16, verse 14. Jesus appeared unto the 11 and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. That is, their hearts were desensitized to the things of God. So from all of this, we see that the hard heart is connected with an inability to understand, with an inability to perceive, with an inability to turn to the Lord, and it's connected to not considering the Lord's work, and it's connected to being given over to human reasoning and unbelief. So this hardness of heart is something that we can do. Again, we've said the heart of a child of God can grow cold, can grow hard. We read in Proverbs 28, verse 14, "He that hardeneth his heart," that's something we do. You may not even be aware that you're doing it. "But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." It's not if he will fall into mischief, it's just a matter of when. "He that hardeneth his heart will fall into mischief." Proverbs 29, verse 1, He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall be destroyed. And then it says, "And without remedy." So you can so harden your heart that the situation is not going to be fixed. And without remedy. It's not that God can't fix it, it's he won't. You can go so far. Hebrews 3, verse 8, verse 15, Hebrews 4, verse 7. "Harden not your heart." It's something we do. We read in Matthew 13:15, this hardness of heart is something that we allow to happen. And it is also stated in Acts 28:27, the verse that we have already read. For this people's heart is waxed gross. It didn't become hard overnight. It waxed gross. It progressively became hard. So from this we see that the heart is something that we have a responsibility for. It is something that we have some control over, that is our own heart, because we can harden it. This hardness of heart throughout the Word of God is connected to being stiff-necked. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, Moses was to say to Israel, "Be no more stiff-necked." Again, it was something that they could control. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8, Hezekiah said to the people, "Be not stiff-necked, as were your fathers, but yield yourselves unto the Lord." That's the remedy for hardness of heart. That's the remedy for being stiff-necked. Yield unto the Lord. You fail to do that, and your heart grows hard each and every time. Every time you are slightly convicted and you do nothing about it, your heart grows hard and gets harder and harder. And pretty soon, you don't even feel conviction. And that's why when people say, "Well, the Lord hasn't convicted me," you wouldn't know if the Lord convicted you or not. Because there's a heart problem. In Hosea 10, verse 12 and 13, the hard heart is compared to fallow ground. That is, it's resistant, it's unyielding to the things of God. Those whose hearts are like fallow ground, they're unstirred. They're unresponsive. It doesn't matter what the preacher says, it doesn't move them. There's no response whatsoever. They hear sermons and the Word of God, but they forget them as soon as they hear them. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. Nothing sinks in. This is the reason people are not zealously affected. In order to be zealously affected, something has to sink in. This hardness of heart is spoken of in the parable of the sower. Mark 4 and verse 4, it's likened unto the wayside ground. This is the ground along the side of the road that has been packed down and trampled down by the travelers. And God says many people's hearts are that way. You see, hardened hearts do not consider the things of God. And a failure to consider hardens the hearts. Hearts become hard by thinking lightly upon the things of God and not repenting. Notice Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and verse 5. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Again, someone is slightly convicted. They do not repent. Then and there, the heart grows hard. It happens again and again and again and again. And pretty soon, they're past feeling. "Well, the preaching never convicts me. I read God's Word and I just don't feel any conviction." It's because you're past feeling. Your heart's been hard for a long time. Again, Satan would have you to look at all kinds of other supposed reasons to get you off the real reason, a heart problem. From Hebrews 3, verse 13, We see the hardness of heart is through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin and its deceit hardens our heart. One of the characteristics of those who have hardness of heart, again, is nothing sinks in. Nothing sinks in. They are resistant. They are unstirred by God. Unreceptive, unresponsive, unconcerned, inattentive, indifferent, negligent. Nothing sinks in. Nothing. Spiritually, they feel not. They're past feeling. They do not care. They want not, and they have not. Like the wayside, these individuals are hardened by many things. But it is a heart that knows no repentance, no sorrow over sin, no guilt, no concern for the things of God. It allows itself to be trampled upon, just like the wayside. It allows itself to be trampled on by an endless procession of evil thoughts, and cherished sins, and ungodly activities. The Bible also refers to this as an uncircumcised heart, a heart that is closed, a heart that is impervious to God in spiritual matters. Concerning this hard heart, Hosea 10 verse 12, we read, "Break up your fallow ground." That is, the weeds, the thorns, the briars must be turned up by the roots. Most are not willing to do that. Turned up by the roots. That is, you got to dig deep. Most aren't interested in going there. Dig deep into the recesses of their heart. Mark chapter 4, verse 5, mention is made of the stony ground, where it had not much earth. There are more stones than soil. This is why many are not zealously affected. Their hearts have more stone than soil. In other words, the ground is shallow. Nothing can really take root. This is the individual that's not serious about spiritual things. These individuals may occasionally have some joy about spiritual matters. They may show some excitement about spiritual matters. And they may obey some external duties, but it won't last. It won't last. There's not enough soil for spiritual matters to take root. You know, I've had people tell me many, many times, and I'll just use the one example, I could use hundreds. They'll say, "Brother Dan, I was really convicted about my church attendance, and I want you to know that starting today, I'm going to do better. Next service, they're not here." Happens all the time. What's the problem? It's a heart problem. There's more stones than soil. Spiritual matters do not take root. There's a fleeting conviction. But again, as they put those things off, pretty soon, there won't even be that, because they'll become past feeling. Stones are everywhere. And spiritual matters do not get the moisture and nutrients needed. And people are not zealously affected. It could be the stones of pride, the stones of unbelief, and on we could go. We see here in Mark chapter 4, verse 5, the result of this shallowness is that spiritual matters wither away. Spiritual matters lose their substance. Spiritual matters cave in. They collapse, they shrink, they decline. Why? Shallowness. There's not enough soil. It's a lack of seriousness about spiritual matters. The result of this is recorded in Mark 4:17. Things happen in their life, and immediately they are offended or they stumble. There are individuals who may feel some conviction, and they may have some desire of getting right, but it doesn't take root. And something happens in the next hour, or something happens the next day, and they stumble. They're not zealously affected. They have a heart problem. Unlike the wayside individual, the stony ground individual may be moved to tears at times, but never deeply changed. You can cry an ocean of tears. It'd do you no good if you don't change. Oh, they were serious. They were crying. Well, I've seen many people cry, and they're no more serious than the person who's laughing. They have a heart problem. This is why. People are not zealously affected. They're unstable. They're unrooted. They're temporary. They're fragile. There's a problem. It's a depth problem. Hidden by the soil of profession, there's rock beneath. Oh, they have a wonderful profession, but nothing takes root. Because hidden under that profession is nothing but rocks. They have a heart problem. And the word is never grafted into their souls. This is why people are not zealously affected. In Mark chapter 4, it says they withered away. They may have a shallow emotional response to Christ, but it never penetrates the heart. They do not experience the peace that passeth understanding. There's no depth. There's no root. And when affliction comes, their shallow profession of faith withers. Mere spiritual intellectualism and superficial emotionalism do not stand the test. They never have. And they never will. These individuals become the tumbleweed. They have a deficient root system. In order to prevent this, you have to constantly keep the heart. You have to constantly be throwing the stones out. You cannot allow the stones to overtake the soil. Because if you do, you will not be zealously affected. Mark chapter 4, verse 7. There's a condition of heart likened unto thorny ground. We read that the thorns choke. They strangle. The thorns are described as the cares of this world. The anxieties about the affairs of life strangle the word of God. They come under conviction, but then they go home and face a family problem, and the thorns choke the word. And people say, well, it's my family's fault. No, it's a heart problem. It's thorny ground. There's too many thorns. And the deceitfulness of riches, that is, the pleasures of life, and the lusts, the desires and the passions of other things. Other things. Stuff. There's always stuff. Stuff always happens. And if your heart isn't right, stuff will overtake the spiritual. Again, it's a heart problem. It's not even a stuff problem. It's a heart problem. The thorns, the cares of life, entering in, choke the word. And it becometh unfruitful. Many of God's people live in the thorny thicket. Again, the word is constantly strangled. It's a heart that is preoccupied with worldly matters. A preoccupied heart is not a zealously affected heart. Hearts are preoccupied today. Hearts are preoccupied. Preoccupied hearts become hard hearts. But people are not zealously affected. Preoccupied hearts are divided hearts. Consumed with the cares and pursuits of life. People make plans. And they don't want church to get in the way of their plans. Well, we'll meet you at 12:15 at such and such a place. You realize that you are planning on church to be over when it's over. Preoccupied hearts. The thorns rob the sprouts of nutrition, water, light, and space. Preoccupied hearts or thorny hearts are overcome by worries and the lure of the world. But the result is the same. Whatever the thorns may be, eventually there's no room for God. There's no room for the things of God. Mark chapter 4, verse 8, there's a condition of heart likened unto good ground. That's what we need to be zealously affected. It's an open heart. It has not been allowed to become hard. It's good ground. It's very easy for the heart to become hard. It's very easy to go down that path where the heart becomes hard. But it's difficult work, and that's why people don't even want to hear about it today. To take care of the heart. That's difficult. That's hard work. That's a toil. But the good ground is the open heart. The good ground, the stones, the thorns are constantly uprooted and removed. And this is the heart that is zealously affected. Every time we open this book and read it, we ought to want our hearts to be zealously affected. Every time we hear the reading of this book, our hearts ought to be zealously affected. Just the reading of a verse ought to have an effect upon us. It ought to impact us. And what's sad is, when it doesn't, people aren't concerned. Which shows they have a heart problem. when we are not zealously affected by the mere reading of God's word, we ought to be concerned. That ought to zealously affect us. My heart is not stirred at the hearing of God's word. That ought to affect me. That ought to have an impact. Well, it's the way he read it. Are you serious? I'm afraid many are. Well, if he'd read it with a little more enthusiasm. That's not the problem. It's a heart problem. We need to be zealously affected by the word of God. We need to be zealously affected by the things of God. We need to be zealously affected by what we profess we believe. What we profess we believe ought to greatly impact our life. It ought to greatly impact our minds. So I believe we can gauge our own spirituality by how affected are we by God. How affected are we by spiritual matters? This is very serious. This is a very serious thing. And we have a remnant of faithful people here tonight. And some may be thinking, well, why is he preaching this to us? Because you need it. Because we all have the same problems with our hearts. And if that offends you, you've got a heart problem. You're not zealously affected. Why don't we fall down in the aisles? Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Is it because God's word has lost its power? You realize back in the 1600s, many times the preacher would just stand up and read the word of God for hours, making no comment whatsoever. If you did that today, 90% of the people would fall asleep. But instead, they fell out in the aisles, crying for mercy, because they were affected by just the mere reading of God's word. It wasn't too long ago that an individual sitting behind me, during a conference, complaining because the preacher's text was too long. I thought, that's pitiful. You're complaining because he read the word of God too long. That's the problem. That is a real problem. But I'm afraid many people think that. God help us to be zealously affected by the matters of God. It disturbs me when I read God's word and don't feel anything. That disturbs me. Or if I hear preaching and not moved at all. That's disturbing. And it ought to be disturbing. It ought to, that itself ought to affect us. We'll be considering many things that ought to have a powerful effect upon us. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse 7.